Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. One of the scariest times I've had in the last year or two today. God waited till very last few hours to give me a message. And it's not a message, it's like seven different messages. So they're just mini, so don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. I kind of don't know where to start, so I'm just going to jump in here. I had several people come up to me Sunday morning and were like, dead and I said, I'm praying for you. And he's like, you know how when somebody else says they're praying for you when they think something's really going on with you, really bad, I guess. So about the fifth one, I'm like, man, what's going on here? I'm like, I'm all right, you know. But then I'm glad somebody was preemptively praying. Have y'all found Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28? And when I say that about the messages, I work on messages. I while you're still flipping over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, I can write a sermon in my sleep. I can write a 3 or 4 point sermon in my sleep. But I can't preach a message unless God says preach it. That's fact. I can sit down. I probably wrote 6, 7 sermons today hunting for God on any of them. And about 3 of them were just personally for me until we got to this, and then God showed it to me. And so if you wonder what I'm saying, what it's scary, I don't want to preach anything the Holy Spirit doesn't give me to preach. I'd rather just sit here and worship God than do that. You know what I mean? I know there's some people, sometimes you got to do it anyway. I've never been in a situation where God didn't give me a message to preach, ever. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I hope that helps. I don't know. Y'all bear with me tonight. I'm going to do my best to help you and help myself. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. This little sermonette is for today. Man, September 11th, right? It's an ominous day. I'll read this for you. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. That word right there is a better word for that is cannot be shaken. Amen. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. God has given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken or it can't be moved. September 11th, 2001, the world was shook. Our country was shook. There were close to 3,000 people the day before. We're at home eating breakfast, eating dinner, having their whole life ahead of them. And one day later, 3,000 people are off the face of the planet. They've perished through an act of evil. We'd have never imagined in a million years people would have gotten into planes and ended that many people's lives. Over the years, I've thought about it. How many people those men had came in contact with who probably taught them stuff or fed them food or met them at a restaurant. How many times somebody had probably witnessed to them in the areas and they just kind of pushed that off. And to put that many people's souls in your hands and say, I've got so much hate that I'll fly this plane into a building. Not to kill 3,000 people, but to kill more than that. That shook. Everybody in here knows where you were on that day. But it begs the question, it makes me think, when I think like that, is what would I do if I had one day left to live? Am I going to build His kingdom or am I going to waste my time? Am I going to waste the time that God's given me? If tomorrow is my last day, how did I spend today? If tomorrow something happens to us, are we building the kingdom of God or are we just wasting our time? Because we, believers, on Wednesday night came in here. We have a kingdom that cannot be moved. Well, we shouldn't be moved either. And I've heard this the last few days, and especially today, we are living in the end times. If you believe that you're living in the end times, if you believe we're really close to God coming back, what are we doing with that time? Man, what are we doing with it? Yeah, can we enjoy some of it? We can spend time with our family. We can have some fellowship with our church. But we better have a desire to grow the kingdom of God while we have it. We better take that opportunity. You got so many opportunities to talk to your kids, your husband, your wife, your neighbors, the people you work with, the people you go to school with. Are you taking that time? Amen? Are we redeeming that time? I bet 3,000 people that day were thinking, man, I wished I had one more day. When it comes down to those hours and those minutes and those seconds, you know what you do? You don't think about the stuff you think you think about. You think about the people you love the most. Amen? You don't think about the money you make. You don't think about the house you had. You don't think about the car you had. You don't think about the clothes you wear. You think about, do they know I love them? And how are they going to be without me? Amen? Well, praise God, you better lay the foundation for that before that day comes. You all right? Yeah, I don't want to touch on that tonight either, but I did anyway. Amen. Verse 29. This one hits home for me today. For our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Do y'all ever treat Him like He's not? I do. Sometimes I take God for granted. I treat God like he can't really, He's not going to be a consuming fire. That He won't judge me, that He won't be critical of my life, that He won't set me on the sideline, that, oh, I'm so important to God that, you know what, He won't mess with me because I'm doing whatever I'm doing. That is untrue. He is a consuming fire. God is a consuming, man, I don't think He put it in there for no reason. God is a consuming fire. You know what you do with a consuming fire? You respect it. You respect it. You don't just go right into a consuming fire and say, man, I'm going to jump right into that. You respect the power of who God is. I know this is very random stuff. It's one after another, but it's in the Bible. I just wanted you to know, sometimes as Christians, we think we can play with the enemy. We think we can do what we want to do, and God won't do anything to us. That is not true. He is a consuming fire. And we will stand before God. We will be held accountable by God for the things that we do. I got to remind myself that all the time. I don't know about you, but the devil never stops on me. He never stops. Can I tell you another person never stops? My old flesh man never stops. He never stops. He don't ever say, oh, Kevin, let's just keep on going. Say this, do that, think that, touch that, taste that, look at that, smell it. All that stuff is still available. But I got to constantly remind myself, God is a consuming fire. And whatever I said, whatever I'm going to put in front of Him, if it ain't righteous, it ain't holy, if it ain't pure, it's going to burn up. Amen? It's going to burn up. Man, that and you say, well, here, oh, man, it's Wednesday night. Are you trying to scare me? Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if I'm trying to scare you, if I'm not just trying to sober you up a little bit. Because sometimes we think God just don't care. And God does care. He gave His only Son on that cross for our sins. That's a big price to pay for us to take it lightly, to take sin lightly. He's a consuming fire. And I got to remind myself of that. Amen? I got to remind myself of that. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. How do you love the brethren? How do you love other believers? I'm going to be honest with you. We need to do better and better and better at this. I'll be honest with you. We pick people we want to love. I'm glad Jesus didn't pick the ones He wanted to love. I'm glad He didn't hang on the cross and go, I'll die for you, but not you. I like your attitude, but I don't like your attitude. I like your background, but I don't like your background. I kind of like your, I like how you're raised because you're similar to me, but you right here, you're far off. He said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He loved us all. We got to learn to love other believers where they're at. Write it down, where they're at. Everybody didn't get saved when they were nine. Everybody wasn't raised the way you were raised. Everybody didn't come the way you came. Everybody didn't have the same background. Everybody ain't living in the same house. Everybody ain't laying in the same income. Sometimes you just got to say, wait a minute. They got saved when they got saved. They know what they know. I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to care for them anyway. I'm going to be nice and kind and gentle and long-suffering anyway. And write it down. I mean, you might need to write that down sometimes because we wonder why we have so many problems is because we don't love right. I ain't nothing wrong with being honest with somebody, but guess a lot of times it ain't a them thing, it's a you thing. It's a me thing. And a lot of times we will cut off part of the body that's important to God. I just like mouthpieces. I like people who can speak. Amen. Well, guess what? That don't get anything done. Amen? You need some people that got hands and feet. And sometimes the people that got the hand and feet, they're kind of rough. Oh, never mind. Amen? People who work for a living with their hands and feet, a lot of times you get around them, they're rough. Because guess what? It's hard. And you ain't got time to mess around. Guess what? Some people who are the body of Christ, they're rough. But they get stuff done. So many times we're quick to hurt those people or cut those people or run those people, and then we wonder why there ain't nothing getting done. Because all we got is mouthpieces and we ain't got no hands and feet. Whew. I like verse 2. It's just a cool thing. Y'all like this? Y'all look at verse 2 with me, chapter 13. What sermon is this? This is the third one. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Part of me goes, man, cool. Other part goes, ow. Amen? What if God sets you up with an angel and you treated them bad? What if God set an angel right in your path and you judged them as something else and treated them despicable and all of a sudden they went back right to the throne of glory with a report? Woo! That changes that from cool to ouch. But have you ever, I'm not trying to wear you out all night long, I promise you on this stuff, but have you ever had the opportunity that God put somebody in your path and you sit there and go, wait a minute, that just seemed a little bit bigger than just meeting somebody. That just seemed like something bigger than just, hey, how you doing? Can I help you? And it's those kind of situations. I've heard story after story after story, but I'm just telling you, God has a way of sending some things into your life. Not to really, it is a test sometimes, but more than likely it'll be a blessing to you. Today I was driving by this church, and there was somebody standing out here talking, and I whipped back around. Lee was out here, and I just said, man, because I had to get over there to see Peyton real quick. I just turn around, come back, because I was like, maybe he won't say something. I pulled up in the driveway, and this guy sits there and goes, you know what's going on with me? And I said, no. He said, I have a church. I'm like, okay. He goes, but God, I think, is calling me to this one. He goes, me and my wife are moving. And he goes, I don't come by here all the time, but every time I come by here, it's like God says, that place. And he said, I've got pastor friends, I've got preacher friends, I've got good church friends, but it's like there ain't nowhere else where God's saying, there. And I'm sitting there going, that's cool. That's a cool meeting. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that guy was an angel, but every once in a while you run into people who just, have you ever had a day where you didn't think you was doing anything right? Have you ever had a week where you thought, man, I am failing God on every level. I am not a very good child of God. Golly, I wish I could be. There's sometimes when I'm like, God,
why do you put up with me? And he still gives you stuff like that. He will still bless you sometimes. And you're sitting there going, man, why does he keep doing it? And you, and other people might not see it, but you know. Amen? Them angels unaware. Be careful how you treat people you don't know. Amen? Be careful how you treat people you don't know. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. Listen to this. And them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. When people are bound in prison, when people are bound because of how they believe, and people that are suffering because of how they love God, don't look at them and go, wow, that's tough. What you do is you get involved with them. You get on their level. You pray. You sit. You sit down with them when they're going through their adversity, when they're going through their struggle, when they're going through their, when the world is wearing them out. And you say, why would you do that? Because when you're going through it, you'll need somebody to come along beside of you and encourage you and pray for you and help you. Amen? Maybe bring you something that you like to help you get through that. Here's a piece of paper. I don't want to get all worried on this, but do you know when Paul was in prison, he thanked the churches for sending him fresh paper? No, come on. Y'all just bear with me just for a minute, just for a little bit. They put, if you would have seen the prisons, I've seen some detailed ideas of what Paul was in. His prison was like a hole. He was down in a hole. Dark, dungy, and listen, every once in a while you can hear outside. They were building the gallows to kill him. And Paul would write, thanks, church, for sending me the paper and the pen. Y'all are a blessing to me. Amen? Loving people. It ain't big stuff. It's not stuff that, oh, I don't know what. It's usually the stuff that God wants to use from you is the stuff that's in your capability, that's in your hand to do. He don't want you to be someone. He doesn't want to transform you into some super Christian and do something amazing. Usually it's something that's right there in your hand and you're capable of doing it. We take it for granted. And it's usually just giving somebody something that they're passionate about. Amen? Paul was thankful for that. We'll be thankful when we're in those situations. Verse 4. Man, these things are random, but they're good. Marriage is honorable. Amen? It is. In all. And the bed undefiled. God made sex. I hate to tell you that, but he did. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You know what he said right there? He said, do it my way or don't do it at all. Whew. Do it my way. Marriage is a good thing. God, I need to spend months on this. If you're in a good marriage, work on it. Make it better. If your marriage is kind of roller coaster of life, we're going down the river, hey, work on it. Work on it. Go back to your first love. Pursue them. Talk to them like you did when you wanted to go out with them. Oh, never mind. Whew. Man, if you've got a good wife or a good husband, man, God is honored by that. God is honored by that. And he gave you that person, amen, to help you through this life. A helpmate. Whew. A helpmate. Man, somebody asked me, you know, we've been married, we're going on into our 17th year, and somebody said, what's the greatest thing about marriage? And if you would have asked me in year one, I'd have told you something. And if year five, I'd have told you something different. In year 10, I'd told you something different. And today, you know what it really comes down to is just being thankful for the things that they put up with most of the time. And thankful for, man, I wish I could have, thankful for loving me despite of me. Some of y'all can help me out and say amen right there every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Because does anybody know themselves? I mean, some days, man, I'm thinking to myself, how in the world does she love me? I don't really love me right now. And, man, I create a lot of messes.
Johnny, come on, help me out right there. Right? If I can be who I am and create messes, that's enough for them to love you through that and to love you through your messes. Oh, never mind. God. I thought I'd get some women there. Hey, man, brother, you got it. You're great. That's great. But I wonder why God put those in there. He just throwing these little, how to act as a believer. Listen, I know, man, he said, well, you don't know my situation. Hey, none of them are perfect. None of them. They're hard. I'm just not happy. Break happy. Stay till the love comes back. Stay till you get happy again. Don't worry. It'll come around. Hey, man. Oh. I'm just not happy. Who told you it's going to be happy? Amen? I mean, sometimes you just got to make up your mind, I ain't going nowhere. And she ain't going nowhere. And I'll love her and she'll love me until the happy comes back. I'm going to stay. Yeah, I'll stay right here until the love comes back. Oh, never mind. You stay married long enough too, you're going to have to fall in love with a different person. Amen? Because you ain't 20 no more and you can't get by on hot dogs. Love and hot dogs. Man, I thought that was the greatest thing ever made. I was like, man, we got chili, hot dogs, and a pie. We're good. I said that in the past. I said, God made sex. God did. And this world and the devil has turned sex and marriage upside down and calls it everything else. He's been attacking marriage since the garden. He's still attacking it. And we've given up. The church has given up on marriage. We're like, well, the world's got their definition. The world's definition is garbage. Facts. We need to get back to saying, wait a minute, we need to make this relationship right. I hate to tell you this, I'm not a statistic guy, but they say that marriage, the divorce rate in the church is the same as the world's. That's a shame. That's a shame. Because it's supposed to be a great portrait of the bridegroom being Christ and the bride being the church. So that tells us, guess what? We don't know how to act. You know what? When I was studying this out there, I said, man, that thing's going to take me 2 minutes to get through that one. Amen? It took longer than all of them, I think. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. You know, it's the whole reason I came to preach tonight. This is the one point that I needed. I don't know what you needed in this message, but this is what I needed. Let your conversation be without covetousness. I don't have a problem wanting what other people want. And be content with such things. I'm content with what I have, as you have. For he has said, now this is the part that I needed. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Sometimes I need to be reminded that God ain't never going to leave me and ain't never going to forsake me. Because there's days when I fail God, and I don't feel saved, and I don't feel loved. I don't feel like I deserve. I'm my worst critic. I hold myself. I do. I don't like falling short. I don't like messing up. I don't like making mistakes, but I do. But when I make one big enough and I think, man, I see God not pleased with me, I think, man, if I was you, God, I'd just cut bait and leave now. You know? If I were you, you could find somebody better than me. And then I read that, and it says, I will never. This is a promise. It's a promise. And I need God's promises in the Bible because I need to know he ain't going nowhere. Amen? I need to know when I'm not feeling, when I don't feel, when I've messed up, when I've done it, he said, I am not leaving you. I will not forsake you. Amen? Whew. I don't know if you need that or not. I don't know if you ever need that, but I need it. I needed it this week. Because I'm sitting there going, God, if I was you, I mean, and you need to start, you throw on top of that, there's no message.
and I don't feel this way, and I'm not doing what you want me to do in this situation. God, are you still there? In the last few hours, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. God's word, there's a promise in this message or messages tonight for you. No matter how bad you fail God, no matter how bad you fall short, no matter how good or how bad you do as a Christian, how your attendance is, how you pray, how you read, if you're born again, He won't never let God. He won't never leave you and He won't never forsake you. Now, I'm not going to promise you He's a good father. He'll come to where you're at and He'll carry you out of the mess the hard way. As many times growing up, my daddy come and got me. Amen. Your daddy will come get you. He's never going to leave you and He won't ever forsake you. And if you'll call unto Him out of repent of heart and seek His face and His relationship, He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Let's all stand as they come get a song.